And fortunately, the next one wasn't that much further down the road, but it brought us here to be with you and to be with our God. Amen? Is he here?
Yes.
Is he here?
Yes.
But more importantly, is he here?
Yes.
Hallelujah. As we were singing the opening hymn, as you can see, the title of my sermon is titled Moment by Moment. Dying with Jesus. Dying with who? Jesus, who we were talking about all this morning in Sabbath school, the source of life. Dying with Jesus, his death reckoned mine. Oh, and we get to the chorus, we sing moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I have life from above. Looking to Jesus, to glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, I die how often? Come on, where are those scholars? I die daily. How often? Daily. Every moment, moment by moment, I need to die to what? What do we need to die to, folks? Come on, you can talk to me. It's okay. We need to die to our selfishness. We need to die to our pride, our hatred, our anger, whatever it is that Satan is trying to get you to do over and over again, and you know you shouldn't be doing it. We need to be dying to those things. And as we daily strive to die to these things, we can only do it as we lay ourselves before the throne of God and his grace each day. As Sister Jeannie mentioned this morning, we, because of his grace, we have the beautiful privilege of receiving him so that we have the opportunity to have eternal life. Anyone want eternal life this morning? Are you willing to do what is necessary to have eternal life? If I had a $20 bill here in my hand, which I don't right now, and I said, Brother Cleveland, this $20 is yours. It's right here. What does Brother Cleveland have to do for it to be really his? He has to come and get it. Reach out. Take a hold of that $20 bill, and now he is $20 richer. What about Jesus? There are many Christians today who say, I love Jesus. I want to be with Jesus through all eternity. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. However, we find these same individuals living the life that God does not want them to live. You know, my wife and I are planning on taking a trip back to Hawaii. By the way, welcome Brother David back there and Brother Jerry and Janice, my friends from Hawaii. And we're planning on taking this trip. Now, you know, we can talk about taking the trip. Yeah, we want to take this trip. But what do we need to do? We need to purchase a ticket. We need to pack some clothes. We need to drive to the airport and actually get on the plane. Right? But however, there are those who keep talking and talking and talking and talking, and they still find themselves in California instead of Hawaii. Hmm? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. You'll notice that Psalms, as you recall, is the longest chapter in Scripture. And Psalms 118 is the center portion of Scripture. And Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in Scripture. But here we have Psalms 119, one of my most favorite chapters in Scripture. And it's basically, it is referred to as being an acrostic. It's divided into 22 sections with 8 verses in each section. Hence, we have 176 verses in this beautiful chapter. Let's take a look at verses 1, 2, and 3 for a moment. Psalms 119, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Blessed are who? The undefiled." I'm reading from the King James Version. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Verse 3, "They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." Here the Bible is telling us about an individual, or individuals, if you please, who are undefiled before God. They are also blessed. How did these individuals get to this stage in their life where God says they're not only blessed, but they are undefiled? What does undefiled mean? Anyone? Huh? Pure? Okay. Without fault? Yeah. Perfect? Clean? Okay. Undefiled. Just how did these individuals get to this point in their lives? You know, as we sang, "Dying with Jesus, stay with him." We sing songs like, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" And there's what? Power in the blood. We sing these songs, and you may not realize it, but many of these songs that we sing, in fact, each one of them, are many sermons of God's grace and mercy and his love and his strong desire to have us with him through all eternity. And it's also songs about his power that he wants to give to us so that we will be with him through all eternity. Here we find these individuals that are blessed. They're undefiled. Why? Because as it says right there in verse 1, they are where? They are in the way. What did Jesus say of himself in John 14, verse 6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me except through the Father." Jesus is the way. And here these individuals, they are undefiled because they are in the way. They are in Jesus. It is no wonder that Jesus says in John 15, verse 4, "Abide where? In me, and I in you." Because Jesus knows that as we abide in him and he in us, we will get to this point in our life of being undefiled. You know, there's two big words in Adventism. One is starts with a J, and one starts with an S. Anyone know what it is? Justification. Thank you, honey. Sanctification. How does this all work? In fact, let me describe it this way. Can I have two volunteers? two brave volunteers. You won't have to do really nothing but stand up here. Oh, I'm looking at, okay, come on up. Come on up, girls. Thank the Lord for young people. They're innocent, don't know what's going to happen, but that's all right. If one would stand to my right and one to my left, if you would, please. Justification, sanctification. Justification is simply, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, I die daily. Every day I am going before God's throne of grace, asking him for forgiveness, asking him for strength to walk in his ways. He forgives me. And what's the promise there in 1 John 1:9? He not only forgives, he cleanses, washes me all up, nice, spick and span, squeaky. Oh, it doesn't squeak. Squeak, that's not clean. Squeaky clean, as though I did nothing wrong. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now that I've been cleaned up, what has to take place? Okay? The sanctification process. Now, young ladies, I'm sorry, you're going to have to represent Satan. Okay? This young lady here to my right, your left, represents Jesus. Okay? I look at Satan, wow, beautiful. Gorgeous. Oh, I think I want to stay with Satan. I want to do what Satan wants me to do. And then I look over there, whoa, there's Jesus. And Jesus is going, come on over. Yeah, yeah. But I look at Jesus and I look at Satan, who is also saying, come on over. Huh? And I'm struggling here. And all the more as I struggle and I know I need to remove myself from or separate myself from Satan and move towards who? Jesus. But on my journey to Jesus, I look back at Satan and whoa. Ah, I think I'll come back. You know? We find ourselves doing this as Christians, don't we? Or is it just me? Hopefully not just me. I don't want to be the only person, you know. But anyway, here we find ourselves struggling. Satan, Jesus. Satan, Jesus. As I walk with Jesus, I know, you know, I sing all of these songs like we sang, moment by moment. Dying with Jesus, kept keeping in his love. There's, yes, I believe there's power in the blood. Oh, yes, my Jesus, I love thee. And I find myself, hi. But as I continue to feed on God's word, how often? Daily, moment by moment, I find myself getting closer and closer to Jesus and doing less and less of what Satan wants me to do. Yeah, I may slide back this way a little bit, but I look back at Jesus. I ask for his forgiveness, his cleansing power and strength for me to walk in his ways. And again, I get so close to Jesus. God says, Pat, you're undefiled. You are now totally mine. You have surrendered all of your heart, not 99.999%, 100% of your heart to me. You're all mine. All mine. Now, it's up to me to stay with Jesus, right? If I want to continue to be undefiled in the way. Thank you, girls. Good job. But you see what happens here. In our walk with Jesus, how easy it is for us to always slip backwards. What was the instruction to Lot and his family when they were told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah? Not look back. And we all know that story, right? What happened to his wife. She just had to look back. Just that one time. How often I have done that. Just one more time, Lord. And I go back to what Pat wants to do instead of what God wants me to do. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. It is your decision, my decision, to surrender daily this heart to Jesus. We hear it all the time. We heard it in Sabbath school. Jesus, the source of life. And, you know, but through the sanctification process, we are justified daily. Daily. Even if you think you didn't do anything wrong, we need to always place ourselves before God's throne of grace, asking him to open our eyes to see if there is anything in my heart that does not belong there. Because after all, what does it say about us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6? That we are the temple of God, his dwelling place, if you please. And if we are his dwelling place, why would we want to mess it up? Why would I want to mess this room where God dwells so that I will cause him to leave? And me going back onto my knees saying, Lord, once more, please, please forgive me. Please anoint me with your Holy Spirit once more to empower me to walk in your ways. Any saints here this morning? Hallelujah. I see a couple of brave hands going up. I don't know what happened to the rest of you, because if you are God's child, you are considered a saint. How would you define the word saint? You know, a few years ago, I came across this definition, and I've hung on to it dearly, because it was me. The definition is this: saints are imperfect people. What kind of people? Imperfect people moving towards perfection. We are not growing to become saints, but we are saints growing to become like Jesus. Okay? Saints are imperfect people. Am I imperfect? Yes. I know I am imperfect. And daily I fall before God and claim his power once more. Father, I need you. And that's why all the more Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. I need to grow in Jesus so that one day God will say, Blessed is the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. These individuals are walking in God's law. What does that mean? What it simply means is that I, as a person who claims to be a follower of Jesus, I am obeying his laws. Just on Sabbath? Every moment, moment by moment, we are dying with Jesus. We, as individuals, as we are on the way to Jesus, Jesus, who not only said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he also says, we are to stay with him. Stick it out with me is basically what he's saying in my own simple language. Stick it out with me, pal, because there's no other name in heaven than the name of Jesus, who is the source of life that we were talking about in Sabbath school earlier this morning. Don't leave my side, and you will never fall. In fact, my scripture text this morning is Jude verse 21. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking where? Looking to Jesus. Other than abiding in Jesus, how is it possible for us today in this world full of sin, selfishness, pride, for us to become a people that is undefiled, keeping God's testimonies and not doing, as it says there in verse 3 of Psalms 119, not doing any iniquity. Again, the words of Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And in John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, if you what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. For you see, there must first be love in the heart before a person can, in the strength and by the grace of Christ, begin to observe the precepts of God's law. Obedience without love is as impossible as it is worthless. But where love is present, a person will automatically set out his life to be in harmony with the will of God, as expressed in his commandments. So when Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, and mind, he is simply saying that love for God, if truly present, will permeate every aspect of my being, of your being, so much so that inch by inch, foot by foot, mile by mile, we will become a people that is undefiled, keeping his testimonies, not doing iniquity, but being a true reflection of the character of Jesus that God the Father wants us to be. I don't know if I said it here before, but I'll say it again. God will never ask us to do something that he knows is not possible. And I'm going to repeat it. God will not ask us to do something that he knows is not possible. I'll be honest with you, when I came across the verses like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, be ye therefore holy, I said, wait a minute, God, you know I'm human. How can I be holy? I've goofed up so many times. I've asked for forgiveness so many times. And I slipped up again. And yet you ask me to, I mean, hey, let me rephrase that. He's not asking. He's actually commanding us to be holy. Why? Because the verse continues, because I am holy. Do we serve a holy God? Amen. Then all the more we need to be striving to be holy as he is holy in character. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men? All men. You'll find that in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, guess when? In this present world. In this present world of sin and turmoil, God is looking for a people that are holy, that are sober, that are righteous, all because of the gift of his son, Jesus. It says there in verse 14 of Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I think it was Jet this morning when he was up in the front during Sabbath school. He shared a little bit from one of my favorite verses, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we are described this, as it continues in the verse, to show forth the praises of God. Anyone want to show forth the praises of God this morning? Yeah, I know I do. And that only happened because, as the verse ends there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and as it was mentioned again in Sabbath school, each one that accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior has been called out of darkness into what? Not just light, folks. It says there, marvelous light. Marvelous light. I don't know how much more marvelous it can be, but it was marvelous. So much so that it caused me to turn my life around and walk towards Jesus. Sometimes this light is so marvelous it blinds people. And it causes them to turn and go the other direction. But the Holy Spirit, who is here, is working in us. I don't know about you, but I claim Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 every day. It says, God has done what? He has begun a good work in each of us. And his promise is he will complete it. However, that promise is conditional upon you and I allowing him to complete that good work in us. And I encourage you, moment by moment, to surrender to Jesus. As Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, and as we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we will present our bodies a living sacrifice to our God. It's not just a theory. It's not just an emotion. It's not just a form of words, but a living, active principle entering into the everyday life. It requires that our habits, our eating, our drinking, our dressing be such as to secure the preservation of physical, mental, and moral health, that we may present to the Lord our bodies, not an offering corrupted by wrong habits, but a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. When we read there in Psalms 119, verses 1, 2, and 3, These are people that are in Christ and Christ in them. They are people that have disciplined themselves to love Jesus as he loves. They are people that as a result of their love for Jesus, they will do nothing. They will do what? Nothing. Nothing that will allow themselves to become defiled in any way. Because their love for Jesus is what causes them to be obedient 100% of the time. Now, I praise God I have my wife here with me this morning. No, we've often said to each other, I love you. I love you. Yes, I love you too. Now, because I say I love you, does that give me freedom to go and want to be with any other woman? No. Love keeps me with this woman who I claim to love. It's no different with Jesus. No different with Jesus, folks. I know we hear it all the time. We need to stay with Jesus, stay with Jesus, abide with Jesus. And we need to do simply just that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Are you, am I, willing to strive for the mastery? For the victory that God is offering to you and I. And what this means is that as imperfect as we may be right now, we will, no matter what we may be facing in this life, that we will always, always choose to be like Jesus. Over every decision, over every action, over every word and thought, so that we will get closer and closer to being undefiled, keeping God's testimonies, doing no iniquity. And once again, in closing, don't forget, as we read there in our scripture text for this morning in Jude verse 21, keep yourselves. Do what? Keep yourselves. Huh? Keep yourselves. Do I need to repeat it one more time? Keep yourselves. I do it to myself every day, folks. Pat, you need to keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And it is only as we keep ourselves in God's love through abiding in Jesus and hiding his word in each of our hearts, we too, during the sanctification process, being justified daily, we too will become undefiled, trusting and obeying every moment of our lives. I know I said in closing a little bit ago, but here's one more verse. I got to give it to you. Familiar verse, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It says that hereby we do know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So here again, God is not asking each of us to do something he knows is not obtainable. Because he knows through the gift of his son Jesus, it is possible. It is possible for you and I today, right at this very moment, right at this moment while we are sitting here or standing here, whatever we are doing, at this very moment, I am his. He is mine. 100%. Because that's my choice. You remember Joshua, right? He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you willing to trust and obey this God who says, keep yourselves in my love. Keep yourselves in my love till I send my son Jesus to bring you home. Amen? Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we sing our closing song. An old familiar hymn, one of my dad's favorite songs. Trust and obey. Am I willing to trust and obey?